All right, Wake, how are we doing? You all right? I'm not a familiar face here. My name's David. I work with high schoolers, so if you're in eighth grade, I'll see you next year. But I'll see all of you guys in a couple years. But I work here at Watermark, and I'm really excited to get to start off this new series for you at Wake called Nobody Wants to Be Lonely. And I show you this clip from this movie. Does anybody know the title of that movie? There we go. Yeah, that's awesome. Some of you guys know that. That's weird because that's an old movie. But I watched that movie when I was 12 years old. Anybody in here 12 still? We got a few 12-year-olds. Good. So I first watched that movie when I was 12. And here's the thing about that clip and about that movie. It's called My Girl, in case you didn't hear them say it out loud. But when I watched that movie, I watched that movie with Allison Moore. And I couldn't help but think, I want to go sit underneath a willow tree by a lake with Allison Moore, and I want to have that conversation. I want Allison to go, hey, you ever kiss anybody? And I could be like, no, but we should try it, and then try it like I wanted to. I think my, you know, age 12, 13, 14, probably the thing that defined my life the most during the years of life that you're living in right now was this strong desire to have the companionship of a relationship like the two people in that movie clip. And it wasn't just a strong desire for me in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. You see, I've kept all of my yearbooks. This is my first grade yearbook, and we have a picture of me in first grade. This is me on the left side, far right, second row there at the end. Here, I'll just point at it. That's me. Okay, and in first grade, here's why I show you this. I was in Mrs. Holmes' first grade class, and we had the fortune of being in the yearbook next to Mrs. Harper's second grade class, and it just so happens across the page from me was Christy Lanning, the flyest girl in second grade, and I was an ambitious young first grader, and I didn't just have a crush on another first grader. I had a crush on Christy Lanning, and I was so proud when the yearbooks came out that when you close the yearbook, my face would touch Christy Lanning's face. And I remember distinctly, like, going to all my friends, who, by the way, weren't really my friends because apparently they signed my yearbook and I crossed out all the names of the people I didn't like. How bad is that? Bill, sorry, Bill, don't like you anymore. 545-214. You wanted me to call him, not calling Bill. But anyways, I would go and tell people, I'd be like, look, when you close it, I kiss Christy Lanning. And like at home alone, I'd just like have this like dream that I'd play out in my mind. I'd be like, hey, Christy, how's it going? Good, David, how are you? Want a kiss? Okay. And I'd like close it. And then I'd like open back up. Was that a good kiss? Yeah, it was a good kiss. Let's do it again. So weird. But like, this desire and this thing, I would call it like having a crush, like it's something that I always had from when I was very young. It like captured my imagination. And I would guess the same is true for you, because the title of this series is true. Nobody wants to be lonely. All of us want to be wanted. We want to be liked. We want a companion. We want to feel those feelings that we feel when we watch that movie clip or when we imagine kissing Christy Lanning. We love those feelings. They're strong and powerful in us. And they're here. I'm here to tell you, they're here for a reason. That's why we're talking about this at church. I love that we're a part of a church that we talk about the real parts of our life. And here's why they're real parts of our life. I want to show you. From the very beginning of the Bible, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, I believe God put those feelings inside of you and inside of me. So look at what Genesis 2, 18 says. God says this after he creates everything and everybody. He creates Adam and he says, it's not good for the man to be alone. So I'll make him a helper, a companion. You see, God has made us to desire companionship. And to want love and to be loved. He created man and woman for that reason. And so if you feel like you have a crush on somebody, or if you feel like you're always looking for somebody to be a companion, if you feel like your friends are always talking about that and people are always trying to pair people up, that's happening for a reason. God made us that way. But when you're in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, there's some obstacles to this. There's some obstacles to romance and to love and companionship when you're in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. You know, for me, I think I can identify three of them. And here's the first one. The first obstacle to junior high romance is this. It's not allowed. How many people your parents have told you you're not allowed to have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Raise your hand. Okay, look, like half the room or more. Okay, so, okay, put your hands down. I'm not going to ask you to answer this one, but I would guess of those people, if I asked you, like, how many of you have liked someone, you'd, like, all the same people would raise your hand. You like someone, you have liked someone, but it's not allowed. There's an obstacle to these desires. Here's another obstacle is this. You're not attractive. That was my problem. I sat by Allison Moore, and I wanted to have a moment under the willow tree with Allison Moore, but Allison Moore did not want to have that moment with me. You see, I was stuck in 6th, 7th, 8th grade in what's called the friend zone. So I was a guy, I'd have a crush on a girl, I'd get close to the girl, you know, I'd sit next to her in class, we'd write notes to each other, we would call each other, and here's what would inevitably happen is I'd feel like, man, I'm really getting close to her, like I'm about to make my move, this is going to happen, and she'd be like, can I tell you a secret? And I'd be like, yes, she's going to tell me that she thinks I'm a stud, and she'd say, I have a crush on Micah. Can you go talk to Micah for me? Have you seen Micah in those jeans? And I'd be like, I don't look at Micah in those jeans. And I was always the guy that the girls would be like, go tell this guy I like him. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I like you. And I was not attractive. I was a shrimp. I was short. I didn't go through puberty till I was 17. It was rough. And guess what? Some of you guys are the same way. You're not allowed, or maybe you're just not attractive. Nobody's into you. Nobody wants you. Here's the, it's true, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just calling it like it is. Here's number three is it's not all that great. Maybe you have, like, had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or you've done whatever kids do these days on Snapchat, where you've had this weird, like, digital relationship, like you're talking to someone, and you've realized it's not all that great. You see, when I finally did have a girlfriend for the first time, her name was Keisha. And when I finally dated Keisha, it really was terrible. I desired this thing so strongly for so long, and I got past the barrier of it not being allowed. I was old enough. I finally, you know, had a girl that was interested in me. I was attractive. But then when I experienced it, it wasn't all that great. And so God has wired us to have these desires. He's put them in us, but then we have all these obstacles. And so that's why we're doing these series, to talk to you guys about these feelings. And we're kind of categorizing it as romance. Romance is kind of a big word, but let's just use that word. And we're talking about, hey, we don't want to be lonely. We desire companionship, to be liked, to like somebody else, to have that connection. We'll call it romance. And so who finds that? Who finds it God's way? If God put these desires in us, we should go to God and say, okay, God, how are these desires supposed to be fulfilled? And so who is the person that finds that? When should I find that? When should I start dating? And then how do I actually achieve that? That's what this series is going to cover. And so today is part one, and we're going to talk about who. Who is the person who will find godly romance? So guys, I want to affirm to you that God cares about this part of your life. He cares about this desire that you have, and God offers direction for you to follow as you have and experience these feelings. And so here's what I want to offer you this morning as we go forward. I'm not going to offer you David Peniel's opinion. This isn't Watermark's opinion. Your parents have not sent us emails and asked us to say these things to you. Here's what I'm going to give you this morning is I'm going to give you God's word. I'm going to show you 9 passages of Scripture. All right, from the Bible. And let me tell you, in case you don't know what the Bible is, somebody wrote this and I think it's really good. The Bible contains the mind of God. We read it to be wise, we believe it to be safe, and we practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you and comfort to cheer you. The Bible is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. It should fill our memories, rule our hearts. The Bible should guide our feet. We should read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. And so that is what I want to share with you this morning. This is not some old man's opinion. This is God's truth. And God is going to reveal to you, if you'll pay attention this morning, who will find godly romance. The kind of person you need to be to experience the fulfillment of these powerful desires that we all feel the way God has designed you to experience them. So I'm going to tell you who you need to be if you want to experience God's design for those feelings. All right, so here we go. The first thing. The first person who will find godly romance is the person who can talk to their parents about it. The person who can talk to their parents or talk to a parent, if you just have one parent, about this topic and about your feelings. And right out the gate, this is a really hard one. I remember when I was your age, there was nothing that sounded like a worse idea than to talk to my parents about my crush on Alison Moore or Ashley Starr or Brittany Bailey. All three of those girls were happening in junior high, okay? But I didn't want to talk to my Kimberly Kramer. That was another one. I remember one time I had a friend sleep over, and we were kind of doing that thing where, you know, it's late at night and you're just talking. It's like, so do you like anybody? It's like, well, do you like anybody? And you're like, okay, I'll tell you if you promise not to tell anybody. But secretly, you did want them to tell somebody. You wanted them to tell that person so they could find out if they liked you. Anyways, we were doing that. And the next day, I'm in my car, like, not my car, my parents' car. We're going to, like, soccer practice, and my mom's like, so, are there any girls that you like? And I'm like, shut up, Mom. Like, don't talk to me about that. And she's like, what about that Kimberly Kramer? And I'm like, what about Kimberly Kramer? She's like, well, I heard that you might be interested in her. I'm like, how did you hear that? She's like, I heard you talking last night. I was like, how did you hear me talking last night? It's like, well, your dad and I were kind of standing outside your door. And I'm like, Mom, do you know what a door is for? The door is so you won't do that. It's like your parents reading your text messages. Exactly. I know. You're all like groaning about this because, listen, I just caught you. You're groaning about it because you don't want to talk to your parents about it. And I get it. That's the way you feel, but look at what God says. Here we go. Three scriptures quickly. All from the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom. Proverbs 13:1. Let's start with 1:8. 1:8 says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. See, the Bible thinks your father's advice and your mother's advice is wisdom and helpful to you. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise child, and you are a child. You're still in your parents' home. A wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker or a fool refuses to listen to their guidance and their correction. Proverbs 19:27 says, if you stop listening to instruction, my child, you will turn your back on knowledge. See, this was hard for me when I was in junior high. But when I was 25, and the stakes were a little bit higher, and marriage was a real possibility in my life, I talked to my parents a lot about my dating relationship with a young lady named Allison Lamb, who I ended up marrying and becoming my wife. My parents offered me great guidance in that relationship. And so on this point, here's the last thing I want to say before we move on to the second point. You see, the Bible encourages you, instructs you, and guides you to value your parents' correction and direction and instruction and guidance in every part of your life. And so you should talk to your parents about the crushes that you have, about the people that are asking you out, or what your friends are saying about, hey, you two should get together. You should talk to your parents about that. And here's what I want to say. If that is too awkward for you or too uncomfortable for you or too repulsive for you to even consider, here's what I want to tell you. If you're not mature enough to have a mature conversation with your parents about this part of your life, you are not mature enough to date, to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You got me? Like if you're not man or woman enough to have like an open conversation with your mom and dad, then you're not mature enough to go navigate those waters. But if you can handle the conversation and follow your parents' guidance, maybe you can handle beginning to act on some of those emotions that you have. So who finds godly romance first is the person who can talk to their parents about it, not just when you're 12, 13, 14, when you're 25. Leaders, this is for you too. All right, the second thing, the second quality of a person who finds godly romance is the person who has wise friends who give advice. The key word here is wise. Look around at your friends up and down the row. Are they wise? Probably not. Because who's wise in junior high? All right. Honestly, in this room are probably some of the most wise friends you have because they're at least coming to a place where they're seeking God's wisdom. But it's really tough to be wise in junior high. Here's what I did in junior high. If I wanted advice about crushes that I had, I went to the people that had had the most boyfriends or girlfriends because they'd had the most experience. And so I wanted their advice. But here's the problem with that looking back. The people who had the most boyfriends and girlfriends were also the people that had had the most failures in relationships, right? They had more than one because they kept failing. They kept breaking up. That was stupid, all right? I want to encourage you guys to seek advice because that's what God's word calls us to do. Look at Proverbs 12:15. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Look at Proverbs 15:22. Your plans go wrong for lack of advice, but many advisors bring success. Proverbs 19:20. Get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. Before you go on a date, before you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, before you Snapchat back and forth with somebody till 2 in the morning, you sneak your phone and you build a relationship with them and you're acting on these emotions that you feel. Here's my advice. I think God's advice for you is that you're in a small group. Sean talked about it earlier, that you would talk to your small group about the person that you like and the way your relationship is progressing. And before the relationship progresses, before you go on a date, you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, or the talking gets too intense, that you would go to your small group and you'd say, hey, I like this person. I think this person likes me. What advice do you have for me? How would you encourage me? And you have small group leaders that are there that are a few years down the road that can offer you wisdom and guidance. And then you have friends that can offer you wisdom and guidance and support. God has given you that as a gift. I think it should be a general rule that before we go out with anybody, we should talk to our community that God has provided to get advice. So who will find godly romance? The person who can talk to their parents about it and the person who has wise friends who give advice. And lastly, is the person who follows God above their own heart. And this one's really important, guys. The person who follows God above their own heart. Because here's what I know is true about me, and I know it's true about you. I could trick my parents. I could go talk to my parents, and I could make them believe whatever I wanted them to believe about my life and about my relationships and about my feelings. I could trick my friends. I could even trick myself. And so I have to have God guiding and directing and steering my own heart, or else even my own heart can go astray and wander away from him. Look at what the prophet Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says this in chapter 17, verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Guys, this is a major theme of the Bible, is this. That our hearts are naturally sinful, that we are born separated from God. And we tend to want to go our own way, and we tend to move towards destruction, not health. And we have to understand that our hearts are wicked, and we can even trick ourselves. We can deceive ourselves. We don't even know how bad we really are. We should have humility through all of our lives believing this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, to trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. You are not wise on your own. We should seek God's will in all we do, and then God will show us which path to take. Guys, we have got to pursue God and follow God over our own feelings. When you watch the Disney Channel and they have a commercial between the shows that says, follow your heart and follow your dreams, that is stupid. Your heart is wicked. Your heart is sinful. And if you follow your heart, you're following sin. You should not trust your heart. You should not follow your heart. You should inform your heart with God's word. Guys, your feelings, these powerful feelings that we have, guys towards girls, girls towards guys, they're magnetic. They are powerful. They are real. But they're not always reliable for you to follow. They are true feelings, but they're not always trustworthy to act on. You get me? Write that down. My feelings are real. They're just not reliable. My feelings are true. They're just not trustworthy. Jesus Christ himself said this, seek the kingdom of God above all else. You see, I sought Allison more above all else. I sought love and acceptance and a relationship above all else. But Jesus says, guys, the path to blessing is this, seeking the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and then God will give you everything you need. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings enough of its worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Don't worry about who's going to love you or if you're going to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Don't worry about that. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. So in summary, guys, who's going to find the fulfillment of these desires that God has caused to live inside you? It's the person who can talk to their parents about it. It's the person who has wise friends to give them advice. And lastly, it's the person who knows to seek the kingdom of God above all else. The person who follows God above their own heart. See, nobody wants to be lonely. And let me tell you who the loneliest person in this room is, or the loneliest person could be. See, the loneliest person isn't the person who's never had a boyfriend or girlfriend. The loneliest person isn't the person that's never had a date, that's never had somebody that's had a crush on them, that's never had somebody reciprocate their feelings. The loneliest person is the person who just got dumped. The loneliest person is the person that had that and thought, this is going to fulfill me, this is going to make me happy, and then it crashes and burns. That's the loneliest person. Nobody wants to be lonely, and I don't want you to be that person. The person who's not lonely is the person that trusts God with their whole heart and is satisfied in their relationship with him. And then they go to their parents for advice, they go to their community for advice, and they follow God above all else. So here's your application as you get out of here. These are three things that I want you guys to do. Number one, I want you to talk to your parents. I want to challenge you in the car ride home. They're going to go, what'd you talk about at Wake? And say, well, they showed this clip from My Girl where this boy and this girl kissed, and they talked about how in junior high, like, we have crushes on each other. And then say this to your parents. What's your advice to me about dating or relationships in junior high and high school? And then they'll just, like, their minds will explode. So be like, what is my child asking me for advice about this topic? But you do it because that's what God calls you to do. And just ask them. Like, say, hey, I just want to know, what's your advice for me? Maybe they've already forced it on you, but now you're asking for it. And then listen to what they say. Number two, go to small group this week. Don't miss your small group. And talk to your small group. This is what you're going to talk about. Who's had a boyfriend? Who's had a girlfriend? Go around the circle, talk about it. Who likes somebody right now? What are you doing about it? Go around the circle and talk about it. And lastly, okay, grow up. And lastly, seek God first. If you don't wake up every day and open up your Bible, if you're not doing Join the Journey with Watermark, it's just a few verses a day. If you're not spending time seeking God, laying your day before him every morning, saying, all right, God, I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to ask you to guide me today. I'm going to ask you to help me through today. Show me some truth from your word. Just walk with me through today. If you're not devoting your life to God every day, start doing that. Seeking God first every day. That's your application. Talk to your parents. Talk to your small group this week. And then seek God first. Next week, you've got to come back, be back in this room, because Harrison's going to be up here and he's going to answer the when question. When should I start dating? When do I find godly romance? And so you've got to come hear that. Let me pray and we'll get you out of here. Lord, I thank you so much for Wake. I thank you for a place to have fun with other friends who are seeking you and wanting to know you. I thank you for the opportunity to worship you and then open up your word to seek your guidance for our lives. I pray that everyone in this room would have the opportunity to ask their parents advice, to talk to their friends about this topic, and this week, today, to seek you first above all else. In Jesus' name, amen.